You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to Issues Etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues Etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. The church, as we speak, is remembering Evangelist Luke. Here he is as one of the great gospel writers. He is perhaps a witness to the resurrection. We do not know. He's certainly a companion of St. Paul, and he's not author only of his gospel, but also of the continuing work, the Acts of the Apostles, as we call that, the book of Acts. He wrote a lot of the New Testament, at least the first part of the New Testament. What do we remember about him and about what he brought us by way of his gospel? On this Tuesday afternoon, October the 18th, Pastor Will Wheaton joins us to remember Luke the Evangelist. He's Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, host of a radio talk show called Thy Strong Word, and author of the book Celebrating the Saints. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. What a joy to be with you.
You wanted to start with a St. Luke's Day sermon.
Yeah, I apologize ahead of time, but it's such a great feast that I didn't get to preach on it today. So I really want to pick up the gospel for the day is Luke 10. Verses 1 through 9, but I really just focus on this beginning. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. The epistle reading is St. Paul mentioning, where he mentions Luke, the beloved physician, but he also talks about how he had been left all alone and nobody had stood with him. And he mentions those who opposed his work and, you know, calls God's judgment upon them. Luke 35 is the Old Testament reading. You know, you expect this kind of a physician-y text of the Lord healing right and left. But that chapter, remember, ends with the people of God all coming home to Zion singing their songs. So with that kind of a background, Jesus sent them out two by two, sort of like the ark in reverse. They go out bringing the good news of the kingdom that's already dawned in the flesh of Jesus. God has visited his people in mercy, and it's a mercy that they go out two by two, not alone. The Christian faith is meant to be lived together, not lived alone. Atheism can send you off alone to meet your fate, not Christianity. For the entire time we live and walk the highway of holiness that Isaiah spoke of, we walk that road in company with others. As the prophet would say toward the end of the chapter, singing together as we come home to Zion. Paul mentioned some of his dear companions. Luke, who stuck with him, his wish to see John Mark again, his friend Tychicus dispatched to Ephesus. Family members, brothers, united by a bond stronger than earthly kinship, united together in the water of baptism, given to each other for eternity. Children of the age to come, walking together toward the glorious renewal of this creation that would come about when their Lord, their brother, their master returns. But sometimes in our walking the way of the Lord, there's a lonely stretch or two. Paul tasted it. In my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. All? Even St. Luke? The Lord gives you companions on this way, but they're sinners, frail men and women of faith, and sometimes they will let you down. Sometimes one that you thought was a rock you could lean on for sure will also fail. Does that mean, then, that you're called to walk the way alone? No. Paul found that out, too. In that horrid moment when all his fellow pilgrims swerved from his side, the faithful pilgrim remained. Quote, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. Even in the darkest moments of the journey, when you ache for a human companion to be with you, you'll find that's exactly what you have, a good shepherd who walks with you fearlessly into the valley of the shadow of death. He knows the way in and he knows the way out. He walked it already and he's made a path for you to walk with him. And you can know then that his companionship is actually everything. In companionship with the one who prayed forgiveness for his tormentors, Paul also prays forgiveness for those who lacked the courage to stand with him at the trial. May it not be charged against them. Ah, this is the way of walking the path in companionship with Jesus. When our human companions fall flat on their faces, when they disappoint us and let us down, then in the companionship of him who knew the loneliness of Golgotha, the abandonment, we pray with him, Lord, forgive them. But when so-called companions turn against the message and no longer walk in the way of our Lord Jesus, in the path of repentance and faith, then the prayers are of another sort, such as Alexander the coppersmith received. The Lord will repay them according to their deeds. Today we celebrate St. Luke. He may not have stood with Paul at that first defense, but according to the church's unanimous tradition, he actually did go on to give a defense of the faith himself. Maybe all alone as far as visible companions went, but like Paul, there was one who stood by him, strengthened him, gave him words of power and grace. Thanks be to God, though, that before that happened, St. Luke did his research, wrote down his gospel, recording for us so many wondrous things we'd never have known otherwise, like the two on the road to Emmaus, two and two again, only it wasn't just two, there was another. Another who came to cheer them along their road of sorrow and chase the anguish from their hearts with the gift of his preaching and presence, the bread broken upon the table, and then they knew. So you too, friends, as you walk this way, you have each other. Each other will let you down over and over again as we stumble along in the way. But there's one who walks with you, and he will never let you down. He will break the bread for you anew, and you will know that he, who is the forgiveness of all sins, walks with you, gives you his own body and blood. He gives himself to be your traveling companion all the way till the bright lights of home shine upon the path and you enter with him to find the party, angels, archangels. Yes, bless all the company of heaven, St. Luke there, St. Paul, St. Tychicus, St. Titus, St. Mark, all the saints, the stumbling, bumbling ones along the Lord's road who found in their faithful companion that they had the one friend who would never leave them, who gave them the strength to go on, and to whom be glory with his Father and his Holy Spirit now and to the ages of ages. Amen.
That's a way of remembering Luke as we don't usually think about him that way.
That's why I wanted to share that, because the tendency, you know, I think it was Martin Franzmann who began that one homily in the Concordia Seminary Chapel with preaching on saints' days is a mangy affair. because the temptation always when we're dealing with the saints is to ignore the stumbling. And, you know, I may be wrong in the way that I'm reading 2 Timothy there, but it sounds to me like, since Paul mentions him right in the same paragraph, when he says, no one stood by me, that, well, maybe even St. Luke wimped out there. But you know what? It doesn't make him any less of a great gift of God to the church. God uses frail, damaged, broken human beings to bring the gift of salvation, this wonderful gift in Christ.
You mentioned in the course of that little homily that he's known as the physician.
Yeah.
And that the other thing that stood out there was that he did his research. Those are two things that kind of make Luke's gospel stand out as a little bit unique, doesn't it?
It really does. And there, you know, a lot of higher critics in the 19th century were really skeptical whether or not, you know, how could he possibly have done his research well? Because he must get all these things wrong. And they, over and over again, archaeology sort of vindicated St. Luke all over the place. But his gospel has so many unique features because of that research. He was with Paul probably in the Caesarean imprisonment. And maybe that's when he hooked up with Mary, because he has stuff in that gospel that could not have come from anyone else. No one else had it there. And in fact, he kind of hints at it, I think, when he uses that line in Luke 2:51, that Mary treasured up all these things in her heart, including stuff she didn't understand, stuff she didn't quite get. She held it inner heart and kept it there until the moment when, you know, Lucas said he there a pen and paper in hand and says, spill the beans. And she begins to tell the story. So you have a view of the story of Christ from Mary's perspective that you do not get in any of the other gospels, which is one of the really neat features of that gospel.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about Luke the Evangelist being remembered by the church on this day, Tuesday, October the 18th. He's Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We'll talk a bit more about his gospel and then about that second of his works that tells us so much more that only an eyewitness could have seen. We'll be right back.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.
We would like to overlook the difficulty of daily repentance and death to our sins in the interest of progressing to a more advanced spirituality.
Rebecca Curtis from her new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Somehow, spiritual advancement always amounts to our getting to spend more time on the things we like and calling it stewardship or service.
You can purchase and download an audio version of Ladylike, Living Biblically at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. Ladylike, Living Biblically by Rebecca Curtis and Rose Adel.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada. Faith Lutheran, Orange City, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zulch, Texas. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Trinity Lutheran and Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Perryville, Missouri. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Columbia, South Carolina, Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas, Gethsemane Lutheran, Marion, Ohio, and St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, remembering Luke the Evangelist on this 18th of October. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest, author of the book, Celebrating the Saints. This is a devotional resource that spans an entire year. It will take you almost day by day through the entire year, through the commemorations, the remembrances, the saints' days, the feasts and the festivals of the church here. A great and easy-to-use devotional resource from Concordia Publishing House and from Pastor Will Wheaton, Celebrating the Saints. Order it. And just give them a call asking for Celebrating the Saints, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for Celebrating the Saints under the Listen on Demand page. Well, let's talk about the second work that he did. There's so much we could say about Luke. He has an orderly account and a beautifully crafted account of Jesus' life and ministry, his death and resurrection in his gospel. Is the Acts of the Apostles any different? And I guess we should ask, is that the best name if we really understand what Luke's trying to tell us in that second of his books?
Yeah, if we pay attention to the way it begins, it's obviously that calling it the Acts of the Apostles was to name it after its instrumental cause rather than after its real cause. And so he begins with, you know, in the first book, O Theophilus, I began to write about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. He began to do it. That's Acts or that's Luke. And now he's continuing to do it. It's very clear. He's still the actor. He's going to pour out the Spirit. He stands by Paul and speaks to him over and over again. Jesus is the one whose acts are being recorded. And he's the one that who extends, makes it clear. He's already made it clear in the gospel, but it becomes ever clearer in Acts that this is not a message only for the Jewish people. This is a message intended for the entire world. And the Savior then of all becomes the focus of the book of Acts. How can you be a Christian and not be a Jew? This becomes what the entire book unfolds as it moves along there.
It's as though the first Christians who were predominantly Jewish are saying, we know what the gospel says to us who have the patriarchs and the first covenant. But what does it say to these people who have been estranged from God and who don't have Moses and the prophet?
If you want to use the language of Paul, what does it look like when the Gentiles are grafted onto the vine stock? You know, they're going to be put into this holy tree. What does it look like? How does that take shape? And of course, the answer is not through circumcision, but through the gift of baptism. Huge in Luke's writing. I just want to pick up some themes that are just massive for him in both the telling of the story of Christ in his gospel and in the telling of the acts of Christ in the Acts of the Apostles. He really loves to highlight joy. Joy. I mean, you should just take some time and work your way through the entire set of Luke's writing there and underline every time the word joy shows up. It's everywhere. For right from the start, the birth of Christ is announced by the angels. You know, behold, I bring you good news of a great joy. In fact, I really believe that a great joy is not just the name of the emotional impact it has on you. That's the name of who Jesus is in Luke's gospel. He is the great joy that God has given. And so always in after the encounter with Christ, people go on their way rejoicing, from the shepherds to the Ethiopian eunuch later on in Acts. They all go on their way with joy. Another big thing for Luke that features hugely in his gospel, it actually is the frame, the temple. What's the role of the temple? What's going on with that? The gospel starts in the temple and it ends in the temple. And then the role of the temple itself is a major feature of the story as told in Acts, so that St. Paul finally ends up being imprisoned because of a false charge that he had violated the temple.
We've got about a minute and a half here.
Okay. Obviously, the Holy Spirit, big theme in Luke's gospel, massive, huge, and in the book of Acts as well. So it is a joy-filled witness to the Lord's life and the Spirit's work. And it really ends up being one of the greatest treasures that the church has. If you love the Christmas story, you love Luke. That he's the one that gives you all the goods.
The church remembers him as a man who may or may not have been a witness to the resurrection. He never claims to be.
Right.
But certainly is a witness to that gospel as
it moves out.
As it moves out. He is an eyewitness.
Yeah, I mean, you get to those sections where in Acts, all of a sudden, he stops saying they and starts saying we. And then we did this and we did that. You're like, oh, wow. The person who's relating the story from this on these junctures, he is himself an eyewitness of what he's seen. But he relies on other eyewitnesses even when he's not an eyewitness himself. According to one tradition, he is one of the 72. That's why that reading is the reading for the day. People think that could be a little far stretched. I think that was Eusebius that first suggested that. But we don't know. Either way, it's still true. He is a powerful witness to what the Lord Jesus Christ has said and done.
Is there a prayer for our listeners on the remembrance of St. Luke?
Oh, I was hoping you were going to ask. We pray. Almighty God, our Father, your blessed Son, called Luke the physician to be an evangelist and physician of the soul. Grant that the healing medicine of the gospel and the sacraments may put to flight the diseases of our souls, that with willing hearts we may ever love and serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Pastor Will Wheaton is Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He hosts a radio talk show called Thy Strong Word, and he is author of the book Celebrating the Saints. Will, thank you so much for stopping in.
Thank you for the invitation.
In hour two of Issues, Etc., we're going to be talking about the lifestyle left and those new personal pronouns. There are so many of them. If you list them all out, they just take line after line. Whatever your gender, whatever your sexual identification is, there's a pronoun for you. And then we have the change of language just from simple he's and she's. We are being asked to call he's she's and she's he's. And Dr. Anthony Esselin says this is a war on reality. We'll find out what he means by that right after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.